season that you may not have felt last year, and just kind of a lot of people in baseball talking about the Blue Jays right now?
I think there was a sense of optimism and energy before camp even opened. We had 40 players report to Dunedin a week before spring training started. So the fact is, a lot of guys were acquired at the trading deadline last year. Some of the things that we talked about throughout the course of the winter with individual conversations, and that's continued to perpetuate itself as, regardless or not, and really no matter what time of the year, the wins are wins. And I think there's a continued sense of belief and positivity in our clubhouse. We didn't set out to do anything different in terms of how we played the game, with the focus being the end result. It was a matter of getting everyone in shape, but it's a testament to the depth of the talent in the organization.
Is there any update on Lynn?
Yeah, he did some jogging today. He hit in the cage. The low back feels free. He'll increase his activities tomorrow, and we're hopeful he's back in the lineup on Sunday.
So he's on schedule?
On schedule.
Any update on Francisco?
Increased the running today, the intensity of running the bases. We'll hit in the third group here live today. He, too, hopefully is back in the lineup on Sunday. With Ben, we may send him over to a minor league game just to lead off every inning to get four or five at-bats. So both guys are making expected progress.
In the last exhibition game, you have both Laffy and Grabeck scheduled. Is there anything to read into that, or by then do you expect to have the fifth starter nailed down, or have it nailed down now?
Well, we haven't made that announcement official, but on the last day, with both guys throwing, there are no minor league games left. One of those guys who would slot in as that fifth starter, we're looking at having to manufacture almost like a simulated game versus splitting the game up between the two. And taking advantage of the environment and the innings available here. So that's the approach we'll take.
When you say you haven't made an announcement, does that mean you've made a decision?
There's some discussion. We're getting closer to that decision, and the announcement, I'm sure, will soon follow.
When you do have to use the fifth starter, do you have a plan yet to use him on the fifth game of the season or the sixth? Have you decided that?
Well, the way things are lined up, we need five starters through those first six games. So coming out of that, then we don't need a fifth starter until the 21st of April. So it gives us a number of options to go to, and I think we'll probably reserve that decision until we get through those five games and or six games to make that determination of who might come out, go to the bullpen, or the potential exists for even bringing up another reliever. Versus putting that starter back in the bullpen.
Any news on McGowan?
Continues to feel improvement, yet not to the point of putting the ball back in his hand.
Do you think you'll be looking to DL him, or is that how it looks?
Everything's pointing in that direction right now. With us opening up less than a week from today, and he unable to, throw a baseball, it's likely that he does go to the disabled list. And then at that point, we've got to let his body tell us when he's ready and take the appropriate steps to get him back to game shape.
John, are you aware of what went on at the Air Canada Centre last night with cheering "Let's go Blue Jays" all through the third period?
No, I'm not aware of that. However, I did hear about it. I think it happened maybe 4 or 5 days ago. There was a little bit of a talk about that in the clubhouse. I think anytime your team gets the notoriety or at least some acknowledgement among the fan base, it's always a positive thing. I even think some of the backlash publicly that was evident throughout the course of the offseason was a positive. That means people are paying attention, they're passionate, and we want to get to the point where if something doesn't happen where maybe the general public feels like a decision might be made and there's disappointment, that can only be interpreted as a positive.
To the extent...
Because they care.
Absolutely. John?
To the extent that you have decided on your rotation, have you decided on a number three?
Brett lines up to the three hole. Yesterday's 7 innings of work, or 2 days ago over on the minor league side, keeps him in line for that. He's scheduled to pitch again on Monday over at Lakeland. Without officially naming it, he's a guy that lines up naturally for that. And, in due time, we want to get through this rotation one last time before we make any final announcements.
To speaking to that optimism that you were asked about before, as a guy who's been around the game a long time, who's been a farm director, who understands how long development tracks are for some people, how much are guys like Lorie and Alvarez defying expectations by appearing to be so ready to be major league, more than regulars at their age?
You know, I don't know that there's one template to have a guy go through the minor leagues and ultimately transition to the major leagues. What sets them apart is their mental focus and consistency, and in both cases. And we could say this about a number of guys, not just Brett and Henderson, but you look at what Louis did last year, Yoel Carreño. Young players that came up handled the situation, I thought, exceptionally well. So when you look at what the projected timeline might be for a guy, they're going to change that or alter that based on what they're capable of, particularly handling the difficult challenges and the negativity that can come out of the game.
But it does seem particularly unusual that a couple of 21-year-olds can be counted on as large cogs on a team that's going to be good.
Well, when you're as talented as those two are, you should have a lot of confidence. You know, this game is humbling. There's no doubt. And they're going to run into stretches where they'll be challenged. So it's our job to, you know, support that, to give them opportunities to work through it. But they've got a lot of talent in their favor going forward.
Throughout the spring, you're hearing comparisons to George Brett about Lorie, to Pete Rose.
Buck said that.
I know Buck said it. His roommate, too. But I've seen Pete Rose's name. We're talking about all-time greats here. Is it getting too fast for
him? You know, the one thing I'll say about comparisons, labels, whatever it might be, this sport is built on those. For those who have gone before the current players, you know, we try to reserve judgment on labeling guys in certain ways. We all see the talent, we all see the energy, and we're fortunate that Alex was able to acquire him. So at this point in time, I mean, he's Brett Lorie to us.
You said the other day, John, that after flip-flopping the one and twos, that Escobar tends to be more comfortable in one. Is that permanent?
Today it is. He's in the one hole today. And really, the one thing that I didn't want to take place, if we chose to go back to Kelly leading off at times, I wanted it to be 5-plus games in spring training, so it wasn't going to be a surprise or signal any kind of lack of confidence in any one another. It was in the middle of spring training. Wanted to take a look, talk to both guys specifically about the experiment that we went through, and then talk to them about, hey, we're going to go back to, at least for now, with Yunel back in the one hole. Most important, and I think sometimes the spot in the lineup can create a mindset with the individual hitter where they stack up in the lineup. Both guys just feel like, hey, if I'm at the top of the order, it's fine with me. So, fortunately, we've got two guys that can handle the bat pretty well.
With Drabeck, for better or for worse, he's always going to be the guy associated with the Halladay deal. What did you see from him when he arrived here at the start of spring training, and what have you seen from him as the last couple of months have gone on?
A pitcher that learned from his challenges of a year ago. Didn't take the offseason in a way of feeling sorry for himself or wondering what might be going forward. I know he had a productive offseason with a lot of conversation with his dad and drawing from his experiences. And yet we're seeing a pitcher who I think is clearly on the right path. He's using a two-seam fastball a little bit more. That gives him some trust when he's throwing his fastball rather than thinking he's got to get extra velocity and sacrifice some command. His emotional control is the one thing that, to me, it's evident by repeating his delivery and, more importantly, inside the game. You know, the other night, he pitched out of some traffic. He pitched when some calls were borderline that he didn't get. And what was most encouraging, that the expression on his face didn't change. And he went out and repeated his pitches.
He's going to face some adversity inevitably. What is it that you want to work on, you as an organization want to work on with him, just to try and maintain an even keel?
To maintain the things that we've outlined in spring. Actually, we outlined back in January with him. Which included basically assessing him from top to bottom, mentally, physically, and fundamentally, and putting together some feedback and some thoughts and presenting them to him, and then plan of action to begin with? I mean, we were down here early in camp, and he's pitching with ropes on the mound, getting his delivery, his stride direction, his finish, and he's taking those early bullpen sessions and repeated out in game situations. So that's the reference to being on the right path, and those are the things we'll continue to monitor.
Yesterday in Fort Myers, none of us were there to see it, but it...
You missed it.
I know. We missed it. We missed Anthony Gose basically winning a game by himself in the eighth inning. What was that like to see?
To see it for the first time. I'd never seen it before. You know, leads off the eighth inning on a 3-2 walk against a left-hander, steals second, third, and home. It was a difference in the game. Impactability. Game-changing type speed, and not just the flat-out speed, but when you see the instincts on the base paths. In the sixth inning, he stole against Aceves, who was 1.1, 1.5 to home plate. But there was a timing that he recognized in his hold times where it was basically a count of 1,001 and go. And he had three strides in before Aceves even, you know, started his delivery. So the instincts and the feel and I think just the belief in himself that, you know, nobody's going to throw him out in combination with the speed. It's a rare combination, but I've never seen the three steals in one game or one inning.
After seeing how much of an impact Rajay had for you last year, even when he was on the bench, how excited does that get you to have a guy like Gose here too?
Well, he's going to continue his development path in Las Vegas. There's still some tangible things he's got to work on. You know, his two-strike approach is something that's got to come back into play. It's got to be more of an emphasis. So is the small game, to take advantage of his speed. You know, he's bunted up with a little bit more frequency here in camp. That's a tool that should be prominent in his ability to attack opposing pitcher. Any way to get on base to take advantage of his base-stealing skills is what we're looking at. But he profiles as a very typical and outstanding leadoff type of guy, which, you know, right now we're looking at the on-base with Yunel. But if we can increase the on-base with Gose to go along with the base stealing, that's exactly what you're looking to profile as.
Somebody tells you that you're going to have the oldest shortstop in the history of Major League Baseball. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, he's the oldest shortstop in Major League Baseball history.
I mean, you've said before that he seems to be some sort of a...
The one thing about Omar, what's so refreshing is that for the experience and the elite level of play that he had for all of his career, he loves to play the game. He wasn't afraid about coming in and competing for a job, came in on a minor league contract, telling you that he's readily able to put his ego aside. He loves the game, wants to go out and play it, and he's here as a player with the side benefits of being a mentor, and he's fulfilled and really exceeded all of our expectations in spring training.
Thank you. Answer, sorry, but taking in that minor league, watching all those players throughout the system get recognized, what type of value does that have for an organization?
Well, it's an outward acknowledgement of the work that every scout has done, what player development staff has contributed to each individual player. And the one thing that we talk about frequently in here is that every organization is going to be able to sign, develop, and deliver a major league player. I think it's important to us and critical to us, and we value that we deliver a winning major league player. And the success that they have and the expectation of winning along the way, it doesn't take precedent over individual development, but when you develop in a winning environment, that carries over, and we see it when the guys come step on this field late in the game. They believe in themselves. They all believe that they can compete against the best, even if their current roster placement might be elsewhere. So it's building a mindset and an overall expectation.
You've been around a lot of minor league systems. Have you seen one as deep as the one that you guys have right now?
No. Without a doubt. I mean, in the past, being in Cleveland, you know, there was a strength in position player, or there'd be a couple of pitchers that had come along. But when you see the depth and the number of legitimate major league prospects on both sides in terms of pitching and position players, it's a very healthy system.
not that you can take much from Grapefruit League games because the sample sizes are so tiny, but you've had guys who haven't even played above AA succeeding against legit big leaguers, like a guy like Hutchison did yesterday, like Ghost has been doing. What does that show you about the development track?
Similar to, you know, the success that they've had through the system. Not only are they talented, but they believe in themselves. And the fact that you can provide this type of exposure to them. Yesterday for Drew Hutchison, to me, was might be one of the highlights of spring training. Because he's here late in camp. He's facing what might project to be the Red Sox opening day lineup in front of, you know, 10-plus thousand people. We can talk all we want to Drew directly, but the greatest teacher of all is out between those lines and all the elements that are combined in there. Spring training is not going to offer anything greater than what was there yesterday. So him rushing through his delivery and feeling that anxiety, those are the things that he'll remember. Those are the things that he'll feel first and foremost. So when he does come back to us, hopefully that's a point of reference that he can go back to and some of the adjustments he was forced to make yesterday. So spring training, you know, it can be tailored so many ways. It can support your decision. You can use it to go make a decision go the other way. But in this case, you know, the exposure and the teaching element yesterday, that was a great day for him.
Hey, John, with Lowry in Milwaukee, obviously he was a couple years younger, and there's the thing about, well, he was not mature enough. When the opposite of that, when he came here and you saw him, be it in there on the field, was there a moment or two, maybe even out there, where you said, this kid, he's ready or he's mature?
Oh, we saw it from day one. Yeah. And one, the maturity. He fit our clubhouse from day one. You know, we go back to the reference of other players or the labels that might be associated to a given player, and in many cases, premature. We can't speak to the experience he had in Milwaukee, but all we can talk about is from the day one that he stepped in our clubhouse, and he's been respectful, he's been high energy. Even with all the accolades and all the notoriety that gets thrown his way, the first and foremost thing on his mind is to win. And there was some debate at the end of spring training on whether it was that time or not, yeah. And some won out, some didn't. And but thankfully, you know, we'll have him from day one of this season. And you know, he's a guy that, you know, he carries the maple leaf for all that watch our team in their eyes. But I don't think anybody has greater expectations for the way he plays other than himself.
And that's where it has to start, right? I mean,
well, certainly.
Aside from the talent.
Yeah, because all that he deals with and all the maybe the potential distractions that might exist, it doesn't take away from his game. I mean, he impacts the game in one of three ways every day he walks on the field, whether it's on the base paths, defensively, or in the box. And he's a very bright-looking young player.
You can't really define presence, can you? You either have it or you don't.
Well,
sometimes you look at a guy, for whatever reason, he has presence. Sometimes it's the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, you hear the cliche, the it, he has the it, whatever that means, I don't know. But you see it in print, but the way guys carry themselves because of a genuine confidence, he has that. He believes in himself, and right from day one, there was never any doubt in his mind if he was going to hit or not. I mean, and you know what, he'll mention that as well. He's got complete confidence that he was going to play in the big leagues. It was just a matter of when that door opened.
John, you mentioned three ways that you can impact the game. Can somebody's attitude or confidence affect the game, even if maybe a performance element isn't there on a specific day?
Yeah, the energy that he brings. You know, from day one when he showed up in Toronto last year, it was infectious in the clubhouse. But his energy, while maybe it rubs people the wrong way across the field, he's one of those guys you certainly want on your team. And he's not disrespectful. He respects the game, his teammates, those who have gone before him, and those who have a number of years of experience ahead of him. He's just about winning and loves to play the game.
Have you heard that he, in fact, does rub people the wrong way?
No. I'm just saying that, you know, there are those that, you know, you look across the field, and maybe it's out of envy that you'd like to have that type of player on your team. So there's no, I haven't heard that, but...
But it was interesting, though, that before he came here, there was that kind of talk. There was that, his bravado was off-putting, even to some people perhaps on his own team. But when he came here, there was none of that, at least within his own clubhouse, that we saw.
No. And again, you know, that's all we can comment on. That's all we saw firsthand, or that's where the labeling sometimes. Whether or not that took place, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. That, you know, you can speculate. Maybe people were jealous of the ability and talent he has. I don't know. But he's a hell of a player.
Pedroia is kind of a comparable to that, as far as that guy that across the field people seem to not like that.
There, you could probably draw some parallels there, because they believe in themselves and they're all about winning. They're not caught up into what some talk show has mentioned or what a paper is writing about or what, you know, the perception might be of them. They're about winning, and they're about contributing to a team and being part of a team, and that's where I, you know, having experience with both, that's where you can see some of the parallels come into play. He believes in himself. The confidence is a good thing.
Last year, when Hutchinson came up and pitched that B game, you talked about
the A game against Philadelphia.
It was the A game against Philadelphia. He was the emergency regular starter, went to the B game, right? Tapera did the same thing. They sent him up a couple of days ago for you. Is that because he's the guy they wanted? He's the one, like, when you said you wanted somebody last year, they sent you Hutchinson. This year they sent you Tapera, that sort of thing?
At this stage of spring training, it's about who's available too. So you're not going to, you know, look 3 or 4 days ahead of time and alter somebody's rotation because they're making the start, and it alters what they're scheduled for to start with their respective team. So that's where Tapera came up, and it was a guy available on that day.